our first guest, and we're going to hit it right at the top of the hour here because we've got a lot to cover this hour. We've got a bunch of information for you today about cars and diagnostics, and we're trying to drive home the point about diagnosing cars and what it takes and some of the different avenues and some of the different techniques and some of the different things that are available, both to consumers and professional repair shops out there. And our first guest right here at the top is, I have to tell you how this story came about. I went to a seminar 3 weeks ago. Yep, still go to seminars. Still think it's part of the process. You've got to do it every month. It's just, you know, ongoing training, like the ASE certification says. And, you know, you've got to go and get your training every month, and there's always something new to learn, no matter how much you think you know. You don't know everything. And the subject of this month's seminar that I took locally was about computer flashing, and a lot of it I'd seen, and I always learned something new here and there, and there was some new equipment I needed to purchase to keep the shop up to date. And I reached out to the company that provides that equipment, the Mongoose Cables and J2534 flashing equipment, Drew Technologies, out in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And a funny story, when I called the one night, it was the end of the day, and I found some 5 minutes carve out of my day, and I talked to this next gentleman by the name of Hugh Atkins from Drew Technologies, and I said, you know, this guy just, Hugh, you've got a lot of information in your head, and in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, you know what, let's put this guy on radio, because I bet he can just really tell a good tale of what it takes to fix cars. And I said, do you ever listen to radio? And he said, yeah. And I said, you ever hear of the Car Doctor? He goes, sure. And I said, well, guess what? And here we are. So let me get this guy in the door real quick, and let's get this interview rolling. Hugh Atkins, Drew Technologies, welcome aboard, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me on the show.
Let's talk a little bit, like it was our phone conversation Tuesday this week past, about J2534. You know, Drew Technologies is known for a lot of things, and we can cover what you guys are all about. Maybe we should start it there, Hugh. What is Drew Technologies? Tell us a little bit about that, and what are you guys known? What do you bring to the industry, which is an awful lot? It's hard to condense in just one interview, I'm sure.
Sure. Yeah, Drew Tech started as a vehicle communication consultancy back in the day, and this is back in the, say, 1996 and just prior time frame when OBD was coming on board. So there was a lot of there were, you know, modules already in the car. That the direction was obviously that there were going to be more and more modules in the car, and how to get them to talk, and then talk in the right way so that OBD, you know, would satisfy the OBD requirements, was a big topic. And J2534 came up. It was actually a derivative of what's called RP1210, which is for the heavy truck industry. And what it really is a way for a computer to talk to the device, a device, and the device only acts like a translator. So the application that's on the computer, which does diagnostics or reprogramming, talks in the same way to the device. That way you can have one device and work with all the OEM applications. And then that device knows how to translate what the application said to the car.
So it basically, you guys are providing the means for the auto repair industry at OEM, you know, dealer and independent repair shop level, so that we can talk to car computers and either do diagnostics or reflashing, installing new software, correct?
That's right. And that's really all the device is. It's a translator device.
Right.
The EPA back in the day wanted a shop to be able to reprogram cars. They didn't think it was fair that only the OE could do that. So it should be an independent repair function. So it had to be cheap. So they couldn't independent repair shop many times can't afford, you know, a custom device from every OEM. So if they had one device and all the applications could speak to that device, and it could translate thereon, wow, that could be done. That's something that's accessible by the independent repair.
And that's really the heart of J2534, right? You're helping provide and give capability for an independent shop. If they have a J2534 tool that meets proper protocol, they can do what the dealer of the choice does at that point, correct?
Exactly right. And Drew Tech was around in those days and was a part of the J2534 committee at Society of Automotive Engineers, and still is, by the way.
Right, right.
And so we were there. We could, you know, we knew the rules, right? And it was also, I don't know if you ever heard of CARDAC, but the back end of that is data acquisition. So we could also make a box where engineers at the OEM could actually make their own little program and take a ton of data in the car, which you know, back in the day, you would have had to have many computers to do that. To have one thing that did that, that was nice too. So, we know the rules, we know the protocols, and we know a lot about the OEMs because we've worked with them. We worked them as a consultancy and still do. We make dealer tools for some of them and write specs for some others, et cetera, et cetera.
Now J2534, that is a, and correct me if I'm wrong, a standard written by the Society of Automotive Engineers, SAE, that says we need a device that will do this, whatever that protocol is, and it has to be available to the independents. Is the J2534 tool the same as the CARDAC, or are they two separate test devices?
The CARDAC is a version. It's a universal J2534 device.
Right, that's what I wanted to say.
J2534 is nothing more than the language that the computer talks to the device in.
Okay, gotcha.
Right, and then the device acts like a translator, and it translates whatever the computer told it. And, you know, translator is, it's important to know the J2534 language, and that's the same no matter what. That's in a specification, and,
right.
You know, it either is or is not that. But then your device has to know how to talk to a car. And since they all do that a little bit differently, so if the computer asks you to go get a glass of water, right, you might go to the tap, or you might go to the faucet, pour a glass of water, and bring it back, be real happy. On the other hand, you could also obey the command by going to the lake, scooping up some water, and bringing a glass of lake water, and then you really wouldn't want it, right?
Right.
So different devices will have different behaviors, and because we've been around a long time, we've learned from mistakes we've made, we've learned from mistakes the OEAs made, or the OEs have made, and we work with the Society of Automotive Engineers. We can really bring a very good, solid device.
So the J2534 protocol standardizes everything. It makes sure that glass of water always comes from the tap, and it's recognizable as tap water to create a standard. We've created we've leveled the playing field, so to speak.
Kind of. It levels the playing field in the way which the computer will talk to the device.
Right.
If the device misunderstands that and goes to the lake instead, then you're getting kind of a different product,
right? And you've got problems. So let me paint a scenario. Suppose a repair shop does a lot of Ford vehicles, and their choice is they want to purchase either the Ford factory tool, the dealer-level tool, the Ford VCM2, or they want to do it via J2534. Can they substitute one for the other? Is that how this works?
Sometimes yes and sometimes no. The only thing that's federally required right now, and all OEMs do this, they have engine and transmission reprogramming available.
Okay.
Now, in 2018, because of some right to repair movements and also laws that have already passed, all the OEMs will be required to deliver their diagnostics, bidirectional controls, or actuators, and the same diagnostics that the dealers use, as well as other information too, like TSBs and so forth.
Right.
Right now, you're finding some OEMs do it, and some OEMs are still waiting till the end. Right. It depends on the personality of that OEM.
And it's interesting to note that I think one of the manufacturers that provides a very good and fair amount of information easily is Toyota. Right. I mean, they seem to do, and you know what, their car sales are through the roof. So isn't that interesting that if independent repair shops have an easier time to work on it, they sell more cars? What a concept.
Well, I think what one of the things they found, and they entered into this pretty early on, believe it or not, as did BMW. And I think what the theory is, hey, if a 10-year-old car looks good, people are looking for a new car, people aren't going to substitute an old car with a new car. They're going to look around and say, you know what? I want my car to last like that one did.
Right.
And they're
going
to go to that OEM. And I think that's a really smart move on their part.
Yeah, and it keeps them in business, and it keeps return customers coming back. Hey, Drew, the clock's going to take us, but let me just ask real quick. There's so much to cover here. Is there a place the listeners, repair shops, consumers, just, you know, regular folks, or maybe DIYers, is there a website you guys have they can go and learn more about J2534 and what's involved there, as well as Drew Technologies' product?
Yeah, there is. There's our website, and it has J2534-101. You can learn about it. You can also call us, but we're at www.drewtech.com.
Okay, and they can.
Another thing that's really important when you're looking for a device is the education to use it, because you're using GM's application, and that's different from, say, BMWs, which is different from Toyotas, right?
Right. That's on your website, right?
It's on our website and also in an application that we have. It's easy to navigate, but it'll tell you about the OE site. It'll tell you about their subscription. What does it have for you? How much it costs? How long it lasts? That way you can make that value judgment about keeping that job that's in front of you in your shop, which gives you the profit and job control, right?
Gotcha.
Or should you send it out, and should you, you know, really put your time and effort into things that you can affect?
Is that available as a link, Hugh? Is there a way you can email me that link, and I can post it on our Facebook page for the listeners so they can find it easier?
Yeah, I can.
Okay, do that. You've got my email, right? If not,
yeah,
shoot me that link via email, and I'll post it up on the Facebook page. And that way they can find the information, because like I said, there's so much here. We're going to have you back again. I think we're going to make a radio star out of you, buddy.
Because I love it.
There's an awful lot of information here, and we just can't cover it in one segment. So
it's fun, geeky stuff, and it's car stuff.
Yeah, and it's car stuff too. Yeah, so let's leave it there. DrewTech.com, that's the website, correct?
Yep.
Cool beans. Hey, Hugh, listen, you go have a good rest of the afternoon. Send me that link. And we'll be talking again real soon. I'm Ron Ananey in the Car Doctor. We are back right after this.